Welcome to the Watson Weekly. I'm Rick Watson. My guest today is Anne Clara Bichette, Chief Data and AI Officer at Mirakl, the enterprise marketplace platform powering some of the largest retail brands in the world. Anne Clara describes a career that connects French National Rail, a refurbished car marketplace IPO, and now a mandate most executives would find uncomfortable. Disrupt the product and the company responsibly. At Mirakl, she's doing exactly that. There are three things worth your time from this conversation. First, AI investments stall when they're treated as technology products instead of product problems. Anne Clara's product mindset, her mandate, reframes the entire roadmap around the job to be done. The first question an AI leader needs to ask isn't about the model, it's about the user. Second, Mirakl went from 50% Gen AI adoption to 95%, and the breakthrough wasn't more training. It was eliminating the copy and paste game. When agents started acting inside systems, instead of generating text for humans to manually move, the value was immediate. That's the adoption unlock that most companies are missing. Third, shipping AI-native B2B SaaS is harder than it looks. Mirakl launched a catalog transformer that standardizes taxonomy across retail media channels. The lessons on quality, user expectations, and model strategy apply directly to any product team building in this space right now. The interview is 25 minutes, and if you want to learn more, follow the show and find the newsletter at watsonweekly.com. Let's get into it.
Today, I'm very pleased to be joined by Anne Clara Bichette, who is the Chief Data and AI Officer at Mirakl, the global marketplace platform for enterprises. Anne Clara's background spans data science, product transformations from French National Rail to building a refurbished car marketplace through IPO. And she was hired at Mirakl with a pretty big mandate, which is sort of disrupt the company, how they're doing business today with AI and software. And we're going to unpack that today in the conversation. So welcome to the podcast, Anne Clara.
Hello, everyone. Happy to be there with you today. That's great.
Thank you so much. Tell me a little bit about your background. How did you come into Mirakl? What were you doing, you know, prior and your training?
Just to describe myself, I could describe myself as since I was a young girl as a sci-fi fan. So in a way, I always hoped artificial intelligence emerged. My preferred movies were Tron and Blade Runner. So for me, that's the best gift I could have at now a little bit more than 40 years old. And yeah, I started into that. I made all my studies in mathematics, econometrics, and the software engineering. And I started to work like 20 years ago. Really, it was the winter of AI. So I'm super happy now it's the spring of AI and that I stick to my passion. So I think what defined me the most is that I've always been passionate about AI and leveraging technologies as enabler to grow the business, but also to improve the everyday work of anyone in my company. So super happy about that. And I've seen a big evolution over my career, starting in a bank and insurance. Like, you know, data was the core of the business model, right, on pricing, but also on being able to optimize a lot of tasks based on AI, financial, and so on. And after I moved to you describe it, a French railway company, but that was also one of the top three e-commerce websites in France at that period. So it was really exciting to touch at loyalty, how to have a good customer database and good CRM can help to have good standard of customer experience, as well as seize opportunity and build like full subscription model on train that were really exciting and able to reinvent the business. And after I shifted a bit in product, because I was really passionate about having impact to the customers, and I really see product not only as, I would say, the asset, the website, and so on, but more as a culture about being obsessed by solving customer problems, solving user problems, and iterate and create value. I think that's what drives me and lead me to a Mirakl, and was really passionate about the fact to say, okay, if we break down a product, if we break down the problem of any retailers, sellers, and brands around the world, where could we increase the value and help them to grow their business with safety and reliability across the world?
Yeah, no, I think it's an interesting job. And I think your job not only entails helping set the foundation of the product, but also how the employees at Miracle adopt AI. And the, you know, I know when you first came in, what did you find? And, you know, the willingness of employees to experiment, and what were some of the different approaches you tried to engage employees in the journey?
Yeah, and clearly there is three streams in my mission. The first one is really how to bring more value to our users in the product. Also how to I think, more enable, I would say, the organization and Miracle workers to grow with AI and agentic. And the third one that I think we will talk a little bit later on is also identify where there is new market opportunities purely created by AI. And that is the big topic now, is more about agentic commerce. But if you double click on the organization, I think what really makes Miracle unique is people, the Miracle workers, and also the two co-founders, Philippe Corot and Adrien Nussbaum, that created the company 13 years ago. When I joined, I realized that there was already an impressive dynamic led by the founder, with 50% of Miracle workers that were leveraging GenAI on a monthly basis. And it was June 2024. So that was really a good score. But what I've seen at that time this was really, you know, different. The image I use is when there is the iPhone 17 arriving on the market, you will have different personas of users. You will have the one that are like, I want to buy it, and I come at 6 a.m. the first one in the Apple store to buy it. You will have people that are like quite excited, that will buy it the first month or in the first 3 months. You will have the one that when they will see all their friends, or if the battery is not so good for their iPhone 15, they will try to change. And you will have the one that are still with their Nokia and that are super fine with it. And so what I see was really that the adoption curve was not the same one but the same for everyone. And that's fine. And I really tried to clarify the framing. And the first framing was, we really want to invest in our people because they are the ones that have the expertise. They know our customer. They know their expertise. It can be accounting, finance, sales, whatever. And we have to empower them to be able to use really AI. And the first framing was, the challenge is 100% of Miracle workers use AI on a daily basis. And the way we reached that was really by, you know, using the one that are at the Apple Store at, say, 6 a.m. to make demo to all the others. And after all we see that the others were also showing they were getting inspired, it was more easy to have the first step because you have seen the path of another one. And during that, in the keynote with all the company, ensure that the finance team, the G&A team can do it also on their own, spread that to say, this is the direction, this is the way, you know, the Mandalorian way, this is the way. But also being cool about the pace, because it's really individual. You can have a big project and you do not have enough the time to explore for the next 3 months. That's fine. You can have personal matters and you are not in the right position to do that. So I would say 100%, be cool about everyone will have this space, but be clear on the way. And we changed it after quite fast, because in October, I realized that, you know, the first buyers of the iPhone 17, they were blocked by something that they couldn't leverage the knowledge in the company. They couldn't go in the more advanced use cases. And they were starting to asking me, should I learn how to code in Python? I started to try to connect to an API, and it was people from the sales team. And I was like, oh, this is crazy. So my second role is to unlock all the barriers and also identify what are the things that can lower the technological entry point barrier to make them able to build a first level of agents connected to their knowledge, connecting to the documentation, connected to the data in their software. And it was in October 2024. We started to make an experimentation with another tool, because at that time, unfortunately, there was not a lot of solution on the market being able to provide that. And clarify a second step, that was like 50% of Miracle workers will build an agent by the end of 2025. And because at the end, we believe that the future of workplace is 100% of people for private or professional matters, will be builders of agents. Our responsibility as a company is to provide the enabler, help to have the skill, the necessarily upskilling, but also find the right technology enabler to make anyone able to do that. And the good news is we are at 55 now, so I'm super happy because people are happy.
That's great. I mean, and so, I mean, just the goal itself, I mean, I think when most people talk about enabling their workers or agents, the first places they start is sort of customer service or in technology and writing code. And even just the goal of 100% is very ambitious. Why 100?
I think it's because we have a clear vision about the fact that the technology will evolve in that direction. Models are getting better. Products are getting better. And we really believe in a future that I would not say maybe we won't reach AGI maybe in 20 years old or 20 years or 3 years. I honestly don't know. In a way, I don't care. But I think setting up a clear direction is a way to tell people, you know, the technology is now ready for you to have basically maybe the agents that craft answer for you. Maybe to build, I have my own agent to screen all the news on agentic commerce with the specific sources, the way I like to read the results and so on. And I am now able to adapt the frequency. Before I had the once a week, now it's once a day. Now I changed it last week saying, okay, twice a day. But that's important because it's helping me to saving time. And I have the strong belief that people have the answers and are the answers. And so letting them think about where do you lose time? Where do you see that it has a lot of value that you are faster to your colleague, to your customer? They know. They know where they can improve the quality. And so the best answer will come from them, by them. And so the framing we have in the company is to say, this is important to have like a meta platform where anyone can use different LLMs. And today, they are able to access to Anthropic, OpenAI, Gemini, Mistral. And they are not using all the same models, and they are not using all the same all the models for the same purpose. Engineers use more Claude for generating code. That's still the best model today.
Today.
And at the same time, some people realize that they prefer Claude to craft their LinkedIn message because it's better to understand and to have the rationality they need. Some others prefer ChatGPT because it's more nice. It's really not rational. And after what we see, we have more like vertical purpose of agent, things that are very standard to your operation. And you will have AI feature in your software. There will be startups that are emerging. This is it. And we classify also a third bucket that are more the internal specific agent that are really the things that if you do it differently than your competition, it really can create a differentiation. And this one, you will want to build it, craft them really with more internal advanced AI engineers or data scientists and so on. So
yeah, one of the groups you were talking about was a documentation team, which isn't necessarily, you know, the first group you might think about. Talk to me about their journey.
Yeah, so it really started quite early because I think it started in 2023. About the fact that we start and we try always to start with the customer problems. And we realize that what are the different steps and where do we lose lead time between the moment we understand the problem of a customer and the moment the customer is able to create value with this feature. And you know, just before the feature is released, you have to do something, write the technical documentation. And we realized that, yeah, it was taking time. And we're like, AI, LLM, generating text. This could be easy. And at the same time, we are a global company. We have customers in Japan, in EMEA, but also in South America and America and US. And we're like, okay. And so we realized that it could really help the technical writer to accelerate, to think about what is a good documentation, use that in the prompt, use context about the previous documentation they have write, and then after, generate in itself the documentation faster in maybe different languages also. And what we've seen is an acceleration of 70% of the time to write a technical documentation. And all the times you save there, feature is there, customer value.
Right.
But we didn't stop there. We realize also, and that comes from really a key people in the organization, Juliette Andouze, that is here for, I think, like 8 years or 9 years, or maybe more, as you were saying to me, I'm wrong. But really is a key element in the company that realized right. that there are synergies between the technical documentation and the tech writer, but also the customer service. Because if you want that the customer, it's easy for him to use the software, it's you have to put these people closer. And so she created the magic by really having a vision about the fact that we really want to bring 24/7 an answer to our customer, whatever the language. I'm in Japan, I want to have an answer in Japanese with really steps about how to do something. No one wants really to go in a search bar, type 2 to 3 keywords to get a bunch of lists of documentation to read to be sure they understand well, or send a ticket, write in English, and you don't talk English, and then wait hours to get an answer. And we are like, we could do better for our customer. And we build a 1L agent that is based on LLM that really helps the customer to frame his problem. Then after get a clear answer with steppers, they can still go and read the full documentation because it's very technical. If you want to really understand the documentation, but if you don't know what API you need for your integration, that's so much faster. And but also is able to redirect directly to our customer service team when it's detecting that, no, we don't have the answer. And we were able to do this shift. And now it's totally changing the organization of the team. Tech writer and customer service and customer support is part of the same team. We are still investing. We are scaling this team. But we have now someone that is the manager of the 1Help agent. And we have now people in the team that have been their own agent to improve the documentation, to provide better answer through the agent to our customer. That's huge. And right. After 1 year, 37 points in productivity and the same customer satisfaction with 96%. And we are really proud of this transformation that has not been led by me, led by Juliette, but really helped in the technology enabler and by the people.
That's great. And one of the things you mentioned in that story is you realized that it was still too technically difficult to, because there's a lot of potentially manual work to get your data in the right place, in the right format, to make sure your data is of the highest quality and it's connected to the right systems. And your users came to you and saying, like, it's still too hard. And like that shift from where you were to where you are today, what did that involve? Because that seems like the hard work that a lot of people don't talk about.
Yeah, so I think the big differentiation will come from two things is how well you structure your knowledge and who and how you are going to build the agent as a product to really solve your user's problem. So I think if we look at the first one, in that case, I think we look at it in a way that's obvious. The first source of is the technical documentation, though it's going to be more easy to connect to it. But we realized also how much we had also knowledge in the brain of the people in the customer service team. So it was really interesting to put them together and to also be empowered to review the conversation. And at the beginning, we're like, okay, it's a RAG, so retrieval augmented generation stuff. Let's connect the documentation. It's stored there. Let's put an API. Let's run some tests with the team. Okay, that's great. This could be the answers a human would have gave. That's correct. And we realized that was super important at the beginning was we provide an answer, but the user, the customer, have the visibility about the origin of the documentation. Like you have on ChatGPT, you are able to still click on the source and look at the data. That was super important for us. And we have done a lot of tests also to be sure that the level of the models at that time were really not hallucinating on our documentation, improving the prompt. So the first thing was more for us a step that was easy because we already had covered 80% of the data. The second thing was we realized that's important also to get the profile of your user. If you have a seller profile, if you have a partner profile, if you have a retailer profile, that's not the same. And we're like, oh, so there is the data about the documentation, but also the data about the profile you have. And after we realized that sometimes we were We empower our team, giving them a back office where they were able to review the conversation and rate and review conversation and evaluate if the quality from their point of view as someone responsible of the satisfaction of the customer was right or wrong. And then after we realized the fun fact that was sometimes, you know, the answer was in the documentation, but the agent was not able to retrieve it. And we were like, oh, so having the documentation as a text is not enough. You have also to improve the data to be more, I would say, agent responsive, because you don't have to write something in good English. You know, you say, this is someone that is C2 that has in the Cambridge test that has written this technical documentation. We don't, that's not the level of quality expected by an agent, but is it clear enough that I'm able to say to the user 1, 2, 3? And that's why after we realized that data is good, but what really makes the difference is if you have your data structured in a way that is optimized for agents. And I think this is something everyone is realizing now, trying to scale some use cases. And that's a fun thing to do.
If you know me, you know I don't mess around with my recommendations. And this is no exception. I've been recommending Avalara to clients for years. When we helped build the Ann Klein website, Avalara was the call. Here's the thing. Shopify's default tax settings are not enough. We're talking 12,000 plus tax jurisdictions just in the US, plus VAT across 190 countries. Avalara handles all of it automatically and right inside Shopify. Every client I brought them into is still running them today. Don't trust your tax and compliance to platform defaults. Learn more at avalara.watsonweekly.com. Today.
One thing a lot of people don't necessarily think about, or at least I haven't heard it, is giving feedback on the agent and making that part of your process. Who's reviewing that information on your teams?
The people that are really reviewing the conversation, ensuring that the answers are good, are still the person in charge of the customer service. But what we've changed is we give them the autonomy to improve directly the technical documentation. And I think part of our success was really to break the silo between two teams, because before we had two different outputs. There is a feature coming. The output is to provide the documentation. I have a customer saying that he's not able or he does not understand how to do something. I provide him an answer to his ticket. And so by merging people saying, okay, what we want is usability and the use of the SaaS software is as easiest as possible, and he gets any question to any of his problems. We merge people with the same goal, but at the end, we want that for the customer. How do we do? So that's it. And we build also something that a lot of people start to talk about. It's what is called LLM as a judge, is you use the LLM to rate the conversation. The advice I will give to people that are scaling this product and say, okay, we will have an LLM as a judge evaluating the answer and I fully trust it. No, please keep a human in the loop.
right.
Only to review the bad or the good. At the moment, you will have to calibrate what the LLM is saying that another LLM is saying that's good. At the end, what really matters is your users and humans. And so just be sure you still put people that have the expertise in the driving seat. Don't put them like, no, you are in the passenger seat and you will only deal with people that will escalate the problem. Put them as a contributor, the key driver of the quality of the agent.
It makes sense. And I think the idea that you're not just using AI to improve a particular department, you thought about how AI and the tools could help both groups combine forces in some respect around some common goal of user satisfaction. I think that is definitely something I think a level of a lot of people are aspiring to. A couple of other examples that you mentioned were, you know, in our conversation were an RFP agent. I mean, clearly, you know, any reasonable size software company responds to requests from customers, analysts, others. And sometimes these are very complicated documents with, you know, essentially arbitrary structure. This is something you've done throughout the company's history in the past 13 years. When did you start thinking about using AI to solve this problem? And like, let's maybe start to unpack this story.
The fun fact is really the people that were ahead of the curves was some people in the procurement team and also in the security and legal team. And they were like, you know, there is really something where I realize sometimes I receive too much asked to answer security question, legal question. And as we are global and they are mainly based in Paris, some of them in Boston also, they are like, sometimes I receive things and I have to answer in 3 hours. I'm not able to do it, but I know this is the things that are the most important to answer to the customer. And so, you know, they started to think about how could we do that? And so now they were really able to start to say, okay, but when I answer, I have like the previous answer I gave, I have like the technical documentation, like the SOC 2 certification and so on. These are the source of the relevant information. I could build an agent that I receive as a context the question of the RFP. I have the good prompt and I can pick the answer in the knowledge I have from what is the truth and generate the answer with that. And so what we have done is we were able at the first hand to create an agent. We give him one question, was giving that one answer. And then after we realized, okay, let's put the list of many questions. Okay, that's good. We realize after we have to tell him if it's security, look in the software, so on. If it's legal, you can look in there. And so we realized that it can really help to accelerate. And the step after, and it was in 3 weeks, this journey, was really to, oh, we can generate an API to call the agent in Google Sheet and then have all the answers directly. And so we realized that the role of you know, the people that were answering the question were not to use their brain, type the answer. Was really to, okay, based on my previous answer and the knowledge, I can see I have a score of, is it, what's the confidence index on this answer? What's the source? And I can review the result. Because I really understand what's the need of the customer in this question, craft, adapt if needed. But that was really impressive. And we had, anecdotes like people were saying, before I had to pick the RFP I was choosing to answer because we are not enough people in that region. And we were like, wow. And now they were able to answer sometimes RFP in timeline they wouldn't imagine that was possible before. And that's something when you realize you don't create value if you do that 100% human-based. So create if you can create your own agent that is doing the thing, that's great.
Humans now realizing it's not their job to craft every specific answer, but to worry about, like, is your customer satisfied or not? And what are they really looking for in this answer? Some of them are very technical reasons. Some of them might want more marketing and future looking information in an RFP because they're trying to learn about the company and your success and, you know, those sorts of things.
Sometimes you have to ask yourself the 5 why about this question.
Right.
Okay, what they truly want to know is, okay, sometimes it's too implicit for an
exactly.
agent.
Yeah, sometimes just answering the question is actually not specific and detailed because the person wants you to show your work a little bit sometimes, right? On the product side, I mean, Miracle has launched, it's, you know, clearly Miracle has been investing a lot in the Miracle in the retail media space. And I think because of the recency of the launches in the last few years, kind of the LLM world has already, you know, been a part of us, you know, a part of our mindset and thinking. How do you walk us through the strategy for the models and the AI approach of the product? What are the different elements that you thought about as the foundation of this product?
So I think at the beginning it was really about, I think that's a quote of Satya Nadella that said, the CEO of Microsoft, that said, last year SaaS is dead. So we didn't wait for him to say that, but I think this is the opportunity to say SaaS reborn. You have to reinvent yourself. To tell a bit more about our journey, I think the first thing we faced was a first important trade-off that maybe some of the people that listen to us have still this trade-off in front of them is when you look about all the things you can do to improve your product to your customer or your services, you have always a first trade-off. It's about looking at the curve, about all the things that you could do for your user. And you have always a trade-off between, should I address something I've never done? That's pure innovation. Start there, or start by what is maybe today already your core business. And because if it's your core business, maybe it's because it's creating high value for your customer. And so there is always this trade-off. And I've seen a lot of companies that choose to address more the long tail of use cases. And I think that's a big mistake to say, okay, let's learn about the technology. Let's see if it's right. And we are not disrupting things. We can set up a team only to do that. And I think that's a big mistake, because the first big mistake is, what is the problem you're trying to solve? And if you're solving a problem that does not create value for your user, for sure, you will never get the ROI. And that's why we have this statistic from the MIT that say 95% of a Gen AI project don't have any ROI. That's not because of the technology. Most of them,
right?
Maybe because they don't have the skills, they don't have the right organization, the right technology, but because they were wrong about the problem to solve. And I think the first drastic and bold choice, we were like, let's go bold, go home. You could say, we're like, the three main things in commerce that create value for users is, first, to have the right product available. So we have to do everything we can to improve catalog onboarding from sellers and suppliers to retailers, having the best information the fastest. Second one was retail media. And the third one, we choose the product we describe also for the user, was being able to use the software that helps you to make your business.
Right.
We pick up three. High value, let's go, let's focus on that. And we take these three in parallel. The second one was totally opportunity of new product for Miracle, because we launched a retail media product. And we are like, let's compete about having the best relevancy of product. But if I double click on the first one, was really the catalog onboarding. This was not the beginning of AI for us in that part of our SaaS software, but we realized, if I take the parallel with the autonomous vehicle, it was like you have the L0 mode where you are just doing the totally human led. So you can think about a rules engine, you can think about such things. We already dropped the L0 mode in 2017 because we started at that time to have an AI-assisted catalog onboarding. Think about the fact that you are a seller, you have a list of products, you arrive, you want to sell on Best Buy US. You arrive. Obviously, they have a lot of categories that are not the same as you, because they have thousands of categories. For each category, they will ask you different information. They want to have a high level of quality, so they ask you a lot of information. I don't know, security, purpose of use, benefits, and so on. So you arrive, you're like overwhelmed. We improved a lot the engineering for the and the design and the user interface for the L0 mode. But after, what we have done at that time, before Gen AI, before GPT-3.5, was really crafting specific NLP model. If you have a brand and the color is creamy, but you arrive on the website that say you have to choose between white and beige, you're like, oh, maybe the closest is white. Let's choose this one. And so we were already doing that, what we could call the L1 mode, like the one you have now, everyone has in his car since 5 years. You are able to have the detection of the speed limit, regulation of it. That's AI assisted, that's the L1. But we realized with adding Gen AI that it's changing drastically the way we could show it, by considering that, yeah, you can ask LLM to do the task and then after review it. And by looking at that, we have seen that from L0 to L1, we were able to improve the time to onboard a catalog of 30%. We were already, at 15 days. L1, we were at 11 days. We are happy, 30%. And then after, we realized that no. But imagine if we ask the LLM to do the task. It's the time of processing. Depends on the number of product we have. But we could have the challenge to decrease that time in below 2 hours. We could have like 90% of acceleration. That matters in a world where you are out of stock and you want to onboard fast a new product. That's totally driving your growth. If you want to start a seller, you want to sell on different marketplaces. And we were like, okay, let's do that. Let's improve the quality, because with LLM, you can improve the categorization of a product. But also let's do it totally. And we realized that it's drastically changing everything. We are now in production for 18 months with our product catalog transformer. And to give the the impact, we are able to reduce of 50% the error of categorization. We are able to enrich of more 30 points the number of additional attributes that are filled. Because if you have the information of the description about the size of the package in inch, you can convert it in centimeters in the three columns that are length. So that's already amazing. And you're like, who really wants to do that manually? And the other part is that it was really improving the speed. So first, what matters is really the quality, then the speed. And to give an example, so Rakuten, that is a customer of Miracle, is also a customer because they are official Lego sellers. And so they leverage Catalog Transformer to sell on marketplaces. And they were able to onboard, before Black Friday, six marketplaces in few days, less than a week. That's amazing if you think about the scale you can reach, if the quality is there, it really matters.
You know, going back to self-driving cars a little bit, the L0, L1, L2 will help people think about where their own products are in their SaaS journey. Are we in the kind of like the old rules engine world? Or are we in sort of the AI assisted world? Or are we, how close are we to the autonomous view of things? Finally, one of the things I wanted to highlight was your view of just solving the right problem, because I think you go back to your MIT, you know, the MIT study, and everyone freaked out about it a little bit. And, you know, people assume that technology is the problem with every system, when it's usually it goes back to, what did you set out to do? And if you set out to do the wrong thing, then there's no way that you're going to have success with any of your process. So I just think it's so interesting that, you know, wherever we go, there we are back at the beginning with the problem that we need to prioritize. We need to understand, what's our goal? What are the problems we're trying to solve? And I think your notion about solve the main problem that your business is working on, make that part better. Don't make the edges better.
If you are stuck in a situation, you can always look at it and do four blocks on the matrix and say, is the problem is because I'm doing the right thing, or I'm doing the wrong thing, or I'm doing it right, or I'm doing it the wrong way. And you know, it's better to try to solve the right thing in the wrong way, honestly, than try the wrong thing with the right technology, because it will just lead to nowhere. And you know, that's a basic thing I'm doing when I'm like, this is not working, let's do it. Where am I? Okay.
Right, exactly.
Always when I get, okay, I'm on
this is the right problem. Let's keep going. Let's change my approach.
Exactly. Because that's the way. That's where how you learn. That's how you differentiate yourself. It's okay to do it. But doing the wrong thing is, you screwed up.
That's amazing. And Claire, I think that is a great, I think, wrap up to our conversation, just in terms of how you use AI to build, transform an organization. I think I'm definitely interested in having you come back on in the future, you know, to continue to monitor progress, adopting that product mindset, shipping and enabling people in the organization so they don't have to come back to a technology leader to make their own improvements. Those are things that I took away. Is there any sort of like one last message that you would leave with people related to this?
Yeah, to have a second episode with you, I would mention that's good to find and to look how you know, people are the solution. So start by thinking about what are the problems of your customer, who is in your organization, trying really to start out there and design what could be the agentic organization, not just because of the statement of it, because you really deeply believe and want to develop your people with that. The second thing is, you can create drastic improvements in your product and services. Don't look for small increment, look for the big one. Then after, iterate on that and add this journey. And I would think the third one, that will be the topic of our second episode, maybe, is also it creating new opportunities. And really in retail, agentic commerce is really emerging. The fact that you can buy product now on ChatGPT shopping, but you will be able soon to do that on so many platforms. It's really totally a new market. And that's also what is really exciting and what we are doing at Miracle, with Miracle Nexus, trying really to improve catalog for agents like we have done with the customer documentation. But also we realized that that's going to be a challenge for any commerce company to try to, how could I have my product in the top three seats on desktop on this platform? That's a challenge we are working on also. So think about tackling new market opportunities that are really created with agents.
Yeah, no, I mean, that is definitely, I think, the next step for a lot of people and where we'll see the space evolve in the next several years. This has been fantastic conversation, Anne-Claire. Thank you again for coming on.
Thank you so much. See you soon.